listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.
Yeah, I got cut off because we were up against the clock, but I started reading to you some information about the problems that veterans are facing, veterans without health care. And apparently, Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma, of course a Republican, is blocking a bill. The, the Caregivers and Veterans Omnibus Health Services Act of 2009. And Tom Coburn apparently is got a one-man roadblock against this bill, which would provide assistance to caregivers of veterans to improve the provision of health care to veterans for other purposes. And the reason he says he's doing this is because he, quote, hates the idea of creating new benefits without paying for them. And he wants the funding for this initiative to come out of the economic stimulus money. Where is his objection to the billions of dollars we're spending on the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan? VoteVets.org has raised, they gathered over 13,000 signatures on a petition in less than a week. It was delivered to Senator Coburn, calling on him to end his hold on this veteran spending bill. This is despicable. We have these men and women going over there risking their lives for a war that this guy continues to be in favor of, yet he doesn't want to support the vets when they come home. There's something really wrong there. All right. On to more. And again, if we had comprehensive universal health care, it wouldn't be an issue. But it is. You know, I'm naive on this topic. I thought that veterans, you know, by going and fighting in war, that they're covered, that they get health care. But I guess that's not the case. I think there was some legislation passed in 2003 or 2000, somewhere in there, during the Bush years, that that cut the length of time new veterans could get VA services for. Maybe our next guest knows more about that. Jeff Metzger joins us. He's been with us before. Now, Jeff is a listener who actually many months ago sent me an email about something called ERISA. Now, I had never heard of ERISA before, but he explained to me that he has law offices of Jeffrey C. Metzger. They're in Orange County, California, and they represent consumers against insurance companies for unfair claim denials, mostly in the health, life, and disability insurance areas. And most of these are claims arising from insurance provided through a person's work. And when it is provided through work, it is subject to ERISA. And ERISA, Jeff, stands for?
Employment Retirement Income Security Act.
Okay.
1974. It was the bill passed by Congress that was designed specifically for pensions. It was, it's been now expanded by the courts to cover everything having to do with anybody's employee benefits, including insurance, though in the statute it was supposedly had an exception that state laws regulating insurance were not to be part of ERISA. But that's been so narrowly interpreted that the ERISA umbrella has eaten up and taken over and what's called preempted any insurance claim arising from somebody's work insurance.
Now, I keep going back to this, and the reason that I wanted to have you back on tonight is because last night Congressman Dennis Kucinich was on with us, and it came up again, because the Kucinich amendment that we've been talking so much about that was stripped from the House health care bill, which we're hoping to get back into the final legislation, would allow states to enact their own single-payer systems, to opt out of the exchange and instead, you know, start their own single-payer system. But what it really is, as I read his amendment, it's a waiver of the ERISA limitation. And then it says application instead of state single-payer system. And when I asked him about it last night, I'm still a little confused. But basically, under a state single-payer system, that would be looked upon as a giant group, much like an employer-provided health care, health insurance policy. So therefore subject to ERISA. Do I have that right?
Was, well, if it had been something that had been, well, what he did was in his amendment, he said if the states elect to adopt a single-payer system, then there's going to be, they can request a waiver of ERISA, and then the federal government must grant that waiver, meaning that if the, that he wanted to take the ERISA, to the extent that ERISA would govern any of these single-payer systems, he wanted that to be removed. Now, of course, the Kucinich Amendment didn't pass, and we have no single-payer system, and we're left with the bill now that that essentially leaves ERISA intact, and it's and that's the Democrats. No Democrats really particularly fighting for it. There's one congressman in Arizona that's tried to do something about it, but has been unsuccessful.
So okay, we're left now, with, now explain now. What in the plainest English you can, because people like me, I my eyes glaze over with all the legalese. What is ERISA?
Well, it is the law that governs how claims will be brought and handled and decided by the courts. There's a whole process by when somebody has a claim that they have to go through first an entire process with the insurance company, trying to get the insurance company to pay the claim, and then if it's unsuccessful, it goes to the courts. The problem with ERISA is in many, if not most cases, the insurance company has the discretion to make the determination about whether somebody is covered or not, and the courts will generally leave that decision alone. It's really the proverbial the fox guarding the hen house.
Can you give us just, you know, because we're talking in generalities, can you give us a hypothetical situation, like a pretend case?
Oh, absolutely. And somebody submits a bill for, a couple of situations. Somebody submits a bill for some care, some medical care. How about a cancer therapy?
Okay.
A cancer therapy, and the insurance company looks at the bill, and they have a staff of in-house doctors, and the doctor looks at it and says, this is either experimental, which is an exclusion in the policy. They don't cover experimental. Or it might be that they'll say it wasn't medically necessary, or they may say it exceeds the reasonable charges in that community. And then the consumer has the right to challenge through it could be one appeal or a series of appeals that are written into the plan about how you challenge that internally. And, you know, if you're still unsuccessful, if you go to court, the judge is likely to look at that and say, well, you know, they have this discretion to make this decision. It's not for me to decide who's right and who's wrong. I'm only here to decide whether did they abuse that discretion. And since they turned it over to a doctor who was, even though he's biased and could very well be an employee of the company, he seems to have the requisite qualifications, and therefore it wouldn't be unreasonable to rely on his or her judgment. And the person, even though the under the strict terms of the contract, the claim should be covered, then the judge is going to leave the decision in the hands of the insurance company. Now, what's worse, let's assume that care that they didn't get, that cancer treatment that they denied as experimental, the person can't afford it, and the person dies. There's no consequences for the insurance company killing that person by refusing to provide the care.
A very good reason why this ERISA law should be turned over. Why was it enacted in the first place?
Well, it was enacted as supposedly a consumer-friendly litigation. I mean, legislation that was to protect employees' pension funds. Now, keep in mind, and that was what it was supposed to do. The statute specifically states, the law specifically states that it preempts. The law says it preempts. That means trumps. It means knocks out.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to the early days. You know, when the king says, "I want to rule something," I get to rule it. And so, when the federal government says we're going to accept governance over a particular area, it trumps the states from doing the same. And so the statute says that the that ERISA will preempt all state laws regarding employee benefit plans, but then it wrote in and said there's an exception here. It will not preempt. What's saved from preemption is any state law regulating insurance. One would think that an insurance claim brought would be a law regulating insurance, but over the past 30 years, the courts have just whittled it away and essentially have interpreted regulate insurance to mean only a law that specifically affects, like, the risk pooling between an insured and insurer, and has said that state laws regarding claims, you know, can be breaches of contract that apply to any kind of contract, and it's not a specific law regulating insurance, and therefore it won't be enforced. The difference, and the significance of that difference is that in a state law, there's consequences. When an insurance company denies a claim unfairly, that's what's called bad faith, and most states have penalties or allow for punitive damages or things that will keep the insurance companies honest and also make them pay when they unfairly deny claims. What the problem with ERISA is, its remedy structure, that is what you can collect, is simply the benefit that you were entitled to anyway, and maybe if you take the case all the way through court, a judge may allow some attorney's fees to be awarded. Essentially what's occurring is if they lose, they pay what they owed anyway, with zero consequences. So where's the motivation for them to act fairly when, if they're wrong, there's simply no consequence to their behavior?
Yeah, there is none. And so has anybody challenged this in court, saying, you know, that this is truly unfair to consumers?
Oh, heavens. There's been a number of challenges in various ways, you know, trying to interpret, to try to get the courts to interpret the statutes differently. And there's been many challenges to try to allow for some of these other state laws to apply. It gets even worse because the statute also says that the courts are supposed to create their own law simply for the interpretation of ERISA plans, and so it gives the courts, you know, leeways. Now when you get into the nitty-gritty and the nuts and bolts of this, now you have this whole system of law. Well, there's been some good ones that have been passed that interpret ERISA plans, but the biggest problem with it is that as long as this law is on the books and insurance companies can deny claims without having to do anything other than pay what they would have owed anyway, and sometimes many years down the road, sometimes after much has been spent by the consumer trying to fight it, and in the case of, you know, if you're having a face litigation, the tragedy is in a lot of medical claims. I mean, who can afford to pay a lawyer to go fight a case to recover $5,000 or $10,000? I mean, you spend more than that almost filing the papers, let alone what you have to pay a lawyer to devote the time and effort and money to go all the way through the court process. So what the effect, of course, is that the people don't get their claims paid, they don't bring the case, and the profits stay with the insurance company.
That is sickening. Now, Jeff Metzger, you represent many clients in ERISA cases. I'm stunned by the unfairness of this all. So are they usually just regular, you know, people, individuals who come to you because they're trying to fight the system?
Yeah, well, you know, in an employment, I mean, most people have health insurance, and a lot of employers offer disability insurance, and even more offer some sort of group life or maybe an accidental death kind of
mm-hmm.
insurance. So, and what happens in the employment context is that when they're writing lots of people, if you want to go and buy your own individual life insurance policy, for example, you know, you have your agent, and they do a complete history of your medical and what's called underwriting, and they assess you as a potential risk in deciding whether or not they want to insure you. When you get into the group area, in medical and in disability, when they're going to insure everybody in a particular group, they don't underwrite. Well, the benefits obviously are less, and they're not charging as much premiums. They're not underwriting, so they're not taking on so much risk. And so people then think that they have something that they don't have when it comes time to pay a claim, and nobody really realizes also that the hoops that you have to jump through to try to get your claim paid.
Unbelievable. No, and I think about all the years that I paid into, you know, the long-term disability and everything, and just thinking that, all right, well, I'm covered. And the same goes for health insurance. But we've all had to battle the insurance company who, you know, on claims to get a regular claim paid. And I can only imagine someone who, you know, has a chronic disease or a life-threatening disease to then have to go through this. I would guess, even though this is your livelihood, you would be happy to go into a different part of law practice if ERISA would be overturned?
Well, that's a couple of questions. If ERISA was overturned, what we would really like to see from ERISA, the law change, would be to reinstate state laws applying to insurance claims. Now we have the hammer over the head of the insurance companies to act honestly, and it does have an effect. And there is other types of insurance that is not governed by ERISA. If you have an individual disability policy, or, and to show the unfairness, if I want to go out and buy my own individual health insurance, that's not governed by ERISA if it's not an employee benefit plan.
Right.
So what we'd like to see is the same laws that apply to people buying individual insurance apply to people that have group insurance. But I think what the import of your question was is, you know, because we've talked a lot, that I'm an advocate of single payer as well. So yes, I would like to see us out of business in the health insurance field, because you know, and these different insurances. I don't think that. Most people don't think that life insurance or disability insurance would be a matter of right when we do think that having medical coverage is.
Gotcha. Jeff Metzger, his law offices are in Orange County, California. I've got a link from my blog at radioornot.com. Thanks for explaining it. Thanks for the work you do, and I wish you didn't have to do it. All right, we'll take a break, and I'm really late. We'll be right back.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.